Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
the listeners have spoken.
And what they say
is that they love Thin Lizzy.
Okay, it's Friday.
It is. Happy Friday, Jim.
It's exciting for two reasons. One, just because Friday.
Right.
Second, because it's Fan Mail Friday.
It is Fan Mail Friday. I love that.
I just realized that we're going to try to make a phone call.
Oh, good.
Here as part of the Friday. And
yeah.
Because my wife was on the phone for so long, I'm down to like 15% on this phone. So we'll see how this works. We may have to get a charger.
That's all right.
Hang on a second. Let me get the boy.
You're going to call the boy in.
All right. I really, really like that we do this on Fridays now.
Yeah.
And we just involve the listeners and we have them basically run the show. Because we're very tired by Friday.
Makes it easier for us. We're very old.
So we're going to call somebody. So let me find that number and dial it up here. Okay. And there we go.
No, it's Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Yes.
You're on live with Rockin' the Suburbs.
Cool.
So
what's going on today, fellas? What's the topic? What's the hot music topic today?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. So I'm Jim here.
And I'm Patrick.
And there's Patrick. And we're talking with Jimmy Linetti, longtime listener, first time caller, right?
Yeah. I think I've done everything except call. Email, text, voicemail, tweeting. But yeah, now we've covered all the bases.
Where are you right now, Jimmy?
I am, well, probably like you guys, I'm down in the basement. You guys may notice from my Twitter handle,
yep.
DJ Glove Repair, but I actually do baseball glove repair part-time, so
oh, wow.
I'm in my glove shop right now.
No, it's even better than that. I looked at your website, and you not only do glove repair, which is really awesome, but you make wallets out of old baseball gloves.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's something that is just starting. So I just started that page on there, and I just the Leatherworks company that I'm collaborating with, I just dropped off enough leather for 22 wallets. So keep an eye on that site. They're going to be a hot Father's Day gift item.
Yeah, where's that site?
My website, www.djgloverepair.com.
Okay. Perfect.
And the D and J, that's my son Dominic and me, Jimmy.
Oh,
so,
wow.
It's kind of a father-son deal.
I do have one daughter who would like a wallet. Can we get a chain attached to that that can go to her belt? She likes that.
Yeah, we could go with the whole Harley look.
All right,
there,
cool.
For you guys.
She likes that, yeah.
I like that Jimmy appears to be about the same age as us because he still says the W's. Before a website address, right? So, Jimmy, we are calling you because you sent us a voicemail, but we thought it would be more fun to talk with you. What did you want to talk about?
In regards to your pop songs podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And I really got into Jim's list of he put together on Spotify, and there was just so many great songs on there. And I kind of recommended one. It was kind of an oddball song, and I prefaced it by saying that I always say this when I bring this song up with friends, is that if you look on YouTube or whatever, you know, that old Anchorman movie with Will Ferrell,
yep.
I think at one point they did a music video and it shows him in a hot tub or something. And he just basically introduces a song by saying, if you don't think this is the best song ever, I will fight you.
Right.
And that's the way I feel about this song. And it's one of those songs that just hits a chord with me for whatever reason, and it's not a popular song probably, and not a lot of people know it or even know the band, but you guys can look it up and maybe play a clip of it later. But it's a Brooklyn band called The Men, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with.
Nope.
But they're a great rock and roll band. It's a song by The Men, and it's called Open the Door. So just do a little Spotifying or Googling, and you'll find it. But it just somehow hits a chord with me that I just cannot deny. And I try to tell people this is the greatest song ever.
How did you get into this band?
I got into them just by the usual way I get into stuff, is just finding things online, reading reviews. You know, I'm kind of like you guys. you know, same age range, whatever, you know, hit the websites, you know, as Jim has stated, you know, the new release thing on Spotify on Fridays is, it's a great way to discover music. So speaking of that, you know, I think I've brought this up with Jim before, but I swear, Jim, you know, we must have been, you know, raised by the same mother, mothers from another brother. There's so many similarities between us. And I think I pointed it out to you that I also own those two Stoli Vodka Stoller track CDs.
Nice.
So when you mentioned that Candy Skin song, I knew exactly what you were talking about. Yeah, the whole Replacements thing and everything else. Every time you bring up a band, I go, "Oh yeah, I know that band too." You know, I was going to suggest that maybe you should, you know, change the name of the show. I know you're going by Rock in the Suburbs now, but I thought it might be cool if you guys just change the name of the show to an unpronounceable symbol.
Yeah, we considered that actually. The main difference between me and Jimmy is that I make wallets out of old Chuck Taylors.
Yeah, that's a nice use for those too.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
all about repurposing and reuse. That's all
actually
the rage right now.
None of that is true. But we will now hear "Open the Door" by The Men.
And if anybody doesn't like this, I'll fight them.
Side, drive through the countryside. Tell your mom, not just yet. There's a couple things I don't wanna forget. I wonder if you're thinking about the words I am singing. When I hear the guitars playing, the lone tambourine.
All right, that's a cool tune. So what do you like about that?
You know, I like that it almost seems that, you know, that introduction part with just the piano and just the guitar plucking along there, it almost seems that even somebody like me without any musical knowledge could eventually learn that in no time at all. It just seems so simple and basic, but it just seems timeless. So that song, when I discovered it, you know, I discovered that band a little while after they had released their music, but, you know, when I listened to that, a lot in 2015 and, you know, when you get your Spotify, data, you know, sent to you at the end of the year about what you listened to, and The Men opened the door was easily at the top of my most played chart.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, I thought it was fascinating, Jim. It had a lot of classic rock elements, a little Celtic there with some sort of dulcimer or some sort of, I'm not sure exactly what that was. It was kind of cascading down, but that lovely sort of rising and falling melody. Wow, what a cool song.
Right.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, they're an interesting band. They started off really kind of on the noisy, abrasive side. Mm-hmm. And then they went, you know, kind of that song was kind of a transitional song for them. Because after that song on that record, then the next album they released, Tomorrow's Hits, which is just full of Springsteen, Van Morrison, and anything you can think of comparisons, was just this classic rock tour de force by them. And then everybody kind of got anxious for their next record, which I was, of course, looking forward to. Last year, and it came out, I think it was called Devil's Music, and they kind of went back to their basics. They went back to the noisy, abrasive stuff. So they're a tough band to pin down.
Yeah, but, for a curveball.
Gotta appreciate what they're doing. Gotta like them for sticking true to their roots.
Yeah.
All right, very cool. So thank you for the recommendation. We are now fans of The Men. And let me ask you this one question as a person who has grown up with the same name as you.
Yes.
Was there a point in your life where you decided I'm sticking with Jimmy as opposed to Jim or James or that kind of thing?
You know, I'll tell you the truth, and I don't want to get too personal or anything, but it was Jim for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And then kind of later in life, within the last 5-10 years or whatever, I kind of went through some personal changes, you know, divorce, getting remarried. And so I reinvented myself as Jimmy.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
It's very cool.
So that's the story behind it. Not to get all personal on you guys, but yes, I'm Jimmy now. Nothing's going to change that.
No, I love this because it's a funny thing as a kid. So I'm a kid who whose father's name was Jim also. Right?
Okay. Yeah, I'm named after my grandfather.
Right. So all my life, I grew up with Jimmy because mm-hmm. that was a way to distinguish me from my dad, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, sure.
There was a point in my life where I said, like, I don't want to be that anymore. Yeah. I don't want to be Jimmy. I want to just mm-hmm. be Jim. Mm-hmm. But to my family, I'm still Jimmy. I cannot escape that.
Is that right?
That is always that's the case. But they're the only ones who are allowed to do that. Anybody mm-hmm. else calls me Jimmy, I'll kill you.
Right? I'll fight you.
That's right. That's right. But yeah,
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. All right. And I have just a small group of people in Alexandria who know me as Zeke, weirdly enough.
What?
Just these five people.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
I just go sometimes and visit them.
I'm also planning, Jimmy, to launch another podcast somewhere down the line called Kick Out the Jims. It's going to be all just guys named Jim. So you're on the show.
That's beautiful.
All right. Okay. Thanks again for talking with us. And
it's a DJ glove repair. So get a wallet, man.
Yeah.
That sounds DJ like a great repair. Idea. Father's Day's coming up. Why
I
not?
Love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Let's do it.
I love baseball and I love money. So both of those things.
They'll all be on the website by opening day.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
That was so great. Let's take a little break and we'll answer some other fan mail.
Absolutely.
Hey, Patrick.
Hi, Jim.
I am looking at some of the reviews that people left us on iTunes.
Oh, so you can go to iTunes and review.
You can review any podcast, but the one that we would hope you would review is called Rockin' the Suburbs.
That should be your first review.
And look, there's some people on here. This is some things they had to say.
Okay.
For instance, Mr. Brown says, great music chat. On the whole, Jim and Patrick are just two guys talking about music.
True.
Mm-hmm. But they succeed in maintaining interest by their obvious, sincere interest in music across all genres.
Wow, that's nice.
Not just rock in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. We're also, you know, talking about other stuff too. But anyway, let me get back to Mr. Brown. They aren't trying to show off how many cool artists they can reference, although I know you can a lot, or tear things down with rapier snark. No, we don't do that.
Mm-mm.
They talk about what they like and why they like it. Their casual approach and charm make it worth listening to and coming back for more.
Wow, that's a fabulous thing to say,
Thanks,
Mr. Brown.
Thanks, Mr. Brown. That's awesome. Yeah. And here's another one from Echo Park Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Subject line, addictive, insightful musicopia.
Whoa.
Big words. I like that. Jim and Patrick serve daily nuggets of wisdom about every song under the sun, maybe on Earth.
Ooh.
Addictive bites of insight and advice on what tunes to immediately add to your streams. Thanks, Echo Park Jimmy.
That's beautiful.
I've been in Patrick's basement. He does have every song on Earth.
That's right. Every song under the sun.
So you can be like Mr. Brown or Echo Park Jimmy. You can go to iTunes. You can rate and review the show. It's really just that simple. These people were very nice to us. We hope you are too.
We would appreciate it.
Okay, now we're back. I got some pizza.
Yeah.
Because we're going late.
Yeah, we're going late.
Fan Mail Friday is a longer show. Mm-hmm. If people can't listen to it all on Friday, you've got the whole weekend.
That's right.
To do that, right?
Play it Saturday or Sunday.
What I want to do now is play some calls to the Suburban Party Line. Okay. We got three calls, Patrick, all about one particular band.
Imagine
that we focused on.
Hi, guys. Joe Fleischer. Thanks for the Thin Lizzy episode. I love it when you guys focus on rock. Like many critics and fans, I've always thought that Thin Lizzy's main strength was that was as a live act, and their magic was rarely captured in the studio. I never got to see them during their heyday, but I have more than 100 bootleg CDs, and several of those are amazing. You asked for Thin Lizzy stories, and I have one that was a great moment for me. About 10 years ago, I was making a pilgrimage to my parents' native Norway, and we were in Stockholm's airport. We're walking towards an escalator, and I saw a very familiar face coming in the opposite direction towards the same escalator. It was the guitarist who played on Jailbreak and All the Way Through the End. I stuck my hand out. I said, Scott Gorham, how are you? And we stepped aside, and he was as nice as he could be. We had a good chat. He was very gracious. He introduced himself to my wife and son. We probably spent 2 minutes together, but I still remember every second of it. So, again, thanks for the episode, and keep rocking.
Hey guys, my name is Tom Neuerberg. I'm a listener out here in California, Bay Area. On my way home this morning, and I'm listening to the Thin Lizzy episode. Moments after downloading it, I couldn't believe you guys did a Thin Lizzy episode. I called you back in the old days on the old podcast begging you guys to do a Thin Lizzy episode, so I'm so glad to hear it. My favorite band, love them, Phil Lynott, most underrated guy in rock history as far as I'm concerned. Thin Lizzy was the first concert I ever attended, December 19th, 1980, Warfield Theater in San Francisco. They were on the Chinatown tour, and I celebrate that anniversary every year when it comes around. And just everything you guys said on the episode, I agree with. They are underrated. They are such great musicians, great songwriting, a plethora of great material. It's just such a shame that they're kind of relegated to being a one-hit wonder with Boys Are Back in Town. As great as Boys Are Back in Town is, they're so much more than that. So I would just urge you, Jim, dig in, start listening to them. An album you guys did not mention on the episode was Fighting. I love that album. I think that is an underrated album in their amongst their stuff. That's kind of when they first started having their classic harmony guitar sound. That was with Brian Robertson and Scott Gorham. The album Fighting. Try that one out. And of course, Jailbreak's a classic. Black Rose is a classic. It's funny, as they get older, they actually get a little harder. They kind of ended their career on a more heavy metal tinge than they did in the earlier years. But listen to it all. It's all good. You can't go wrong. Thanks. Fighting! Fighting!
Hi, it's Gerald Stemke calling from Mississauga, Ontario, rocking the suburb of Toronto. Just following up on the Thin Lizzy podcast, one of my favorite Thin Lizzy songs is actually a cover of a traditional Irish song called Whiskey in the Jar. They take a simple Irish folk song and they really gave it some rocking kick. you know, amped it up a couple of notches, and, you know, some of the guitar work in there is spectacular. That song also has been covered many times by the likes of the Pogues and Metallica more recently. Thin Lizzy, I think, is one who started the change from making it a sleepy folk song into a great rockin' song. Give it a shout. Whiskey in a Jar. Thin Lizzy. Keep rockin'.
Okay, so
holy crap,
we could have just let the listeners do our Thin Lizzy episode, right?
I think we might have to do another one. Yeah.
Yeah. What about those calls?
Incredible. So one of our listeners has 100 Thin Lizzy bootlegs. That's incredible. And also, I think it was karma that led him to meet Scott Corum in an airport. Like, that's fantastic. There's obviously a deep groundswell of passion
right.
here for Thin Lizzy, I guess is what I'm driving at, Jim.
Yes. That's the thing I take from this, too, is, you know, you and Bobby, when we did the episode, were, you know, trying to say this band is so much more than people give them credit
yeah.
for and so much more than people know. I think I come back to maybe they were just a victim of timing.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I think that's part of it.
I think they yeah. were, I think to real music fans really can appreciate what they were doing, but they were just sort of like the wrong band at the wrong time,
yeah.
at least for the U.S. I don't know.
You know, and it's interesting too, and we didn't really talk about this directly on the episode, but Phil Lynott was a black Irishman,
right?
Who was very stylish. He had drug problems, but yet created this amazing art. And he was so out of time and so odd in many ways, right?
I got to tell you something. Since we recorded the episode about Thin Lizzy, because I admitted I didn't know that much about the band, I've gone and listened to a lot yeah. of their stuff. And the thing that impressed me the most, because I had this weird opinion that they were sort of like just a riff rock band from listening to stuff like Jailbreak. But going back, what I found much more impressive is just how intricate a lot of their songs are. There's a lot of just really great guitar work and the kind of dual guitar stuff that like just fits Fantastic. Together so well. And you
yeah.
had made the point that they're kind of like Springsteen on the first two albums, the pre-Born to Run albums.
A little bit.
And they really kind of are like, and I mean that like the best way. It's like
yeah.
these great, great songs that are just so well crafted
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot going on in those songs. I'm really impressed with Thin Lizzy.
Starts to make you wonder how much Bruce got from Thin Lizzy.
Yeah,
right?
Seriously.
Yeah, totally, man. Yeah, he got some moves from Phil.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Seriously.
And also, imagine seeing Thin Lizzy as your first concert.
I know.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Very cool. So we're happy that there's so many fans yeah. out there of this band and that the listeners, that our listeners are really knowledgeable about
They're
this
smart.
And bring us better stuff than we
yeah.
even know.
Call the party hotline. It
That's right.
just means a lot to us. We love to listen to your voice.
That's
and
right.
hear your stories.
Do that.
612-440-1984.
And also that caller said that he was rocking the suburbs of Toronto.
That's the way to introduce yourself.
That's right. Okay. So as we mentioned, this episode's going to go long. We like to give extra time to the fans
Always.
On Fan Mail Friday. I think you have a piece of correspondence you wanted to read,
well,
right?
I do. I want to read something that was posted on Facebook by our friend Kevin Clement, right? And this is going back to Something we talked about, the Black Crows. Kevin's from Baton Rouge. Your fan mail show today remind me of an incident in my college days. I saw the Black Crows circa 1992 in a small college town of Thibodaux, Louisiana. A small group in the crowd kept trying to start up a mosh pit. Chris Robinson stopped the show several times to break it up. These guys didn't care. They were in a group or at a grunge or a punk show. They just wanted to mosh. It was hilarious and sad at the same time.
Well, you know, I think similar. I think kind of to Thin Lizzy in a sense.
Yeah.
The Black Crows were a band out of time. They hit in the early 90s at a time. I mean, and they were fairly popular. Don't get me wrong. But they hit at a time in the early 90s with a sound that didn't really quite fit. Like at that time, you've got the grunge explosion that happened and everything that went with that. And all these kids, you know, who grew up on, you know, college alternative rock and all that were finally having this moment. And then you've got this band that's like a throwback to the 70s.
That's right.
And they wanted to start a mosh pit, right? You know, if the Black Crows had hit, you know, maybe a little bit earlier before that explosion happened, it might have been a different scene for them. Chin-stroking, perhaps.
That's right. It might have been a lot more chin-stroking. But thank you, Kevin, for that.
That's good. Okay. Now, before we get too much farther into this, I want to talk. We've got some great stuff here about songs with drums when we did the thing about songs with great drum parts.
Yes.
But before we get to that,
there
was a tweet here from Barrett Reese.
Okay.
And I think he started the whole beer discussion, right? Then he just tweeted at us and said, time to put the brewing playlist to work. And he had his photo here of like various malts.
Amazing
and
photo.
Other ingredients,
pre-packaged
right?
Pre-packaged things that you need, hops and certain things. Right?
And that got me to thinking there was a beer song that I forgot.
Oh, really?
That if I had thought of it at the time, I would have included it on show, but I didn't. And so now I'm going to do it. So a bit of a story behind this. I'm a little bit embarrassed by this. Let me just start by that. So let's just hear it.
No idea what that was.
All right. The song is called Beer and a Girl.
Okay.
And let me say that when you are, let me think how old I would have been at this time, like 24, 25 years old, that's pretty much about the greatest song
ever
that you
written
can
in
hear.
The history of the world.
That's right. The band is called Rights of the Accused.
Okay.
They were a Chicago band. And this was off an album that they put out in 91 called Kick Happy, Thrill Hungry, Reckless and Willing.
Wow.
And how I got this CD, I went to a show at the Metro in Chicago.
Okay.
Because I was living in Illinois at the time.
Yep.
And this was an opening band. But it's funny how, I'm sure you have this, like I can't remember what band they opened for, like these years later.
But the opening band just blows you away.
Right.
It's like, oh my God.
But I saw them and they played just this kind of like, it's funny because it's sort of punkish, but sort of hair metal-ish at the same time. Yeah. You know what I mean?
In retrospect. Sure.
Yeah, that's right. But I just remember them being like just so great live that I was like, I'm going down to the merch table and I'm getting CD.
This CD right now. Yeah.
And so I had this for a long time and I can't find the CD now, but I just
gotta be up there somewhere.
I just recently thought about it. Just recently talking about like beer songs, things like that. Oh, Beer and a Girl. But I'm not sure that 25 5 years later how I should feel about this song. And, you know, and father of a 16-year-old daughter.
No, but like, it had its time and place. Yeah, that's right. But thank you for remembering that.
Yeah.
It was great.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're happy. They probably don't get a lot of airplay.
No, and I will say on the record, folks, he did look. I was up there. He was looking.
I was looking for the CD.
There's a lot of CDs up there. He was looking.
I don't have it anymore.
Nope.
Okay, let's move on from this. Let's get into the drumming songs.
All right.
So we have some suggestions on some drumming songs.
So we did a couple episodes mm-hmm. with Bobby and Renee, right? Amazingly nice people with beautiful children. We did a couple of things, right? We did songs that were defined by drums. We did songs that didn't feature drums with Tortured Bobby for a while.
Right.
I think what we're talking about here is songs defined by drums, right?
That's where we got the most response.
Yeah.
So we have four here. Let's just run through them really quick and hear a little bit of each one, okay? Mark Neese, this is his suggestion.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you'd know why I feel blue without Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, girlies. I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue, oh how my heart yearns for you, oh Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh well, I love you, girlies, I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue, pretty, 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 pretty Peggy Sue, oh, oh Peggy.
That's a great pick.
That's an amazing thing. The Crickets with Buddy Holly, right? So, interestingly enough, I don't know how much you know about the Crickets and Buddy Holly, but Jerry Allison, the drummer in the Crickets, was also apparently credited with writing a bunch of their songs.
Okay.
So he has co-writing credits on some of those early songs, That'll Be the Day, a few others. But man, that, when you're talking about a song defined by drums.
Well, that sort of rolling beat, right?
You couldn't imagine the song without that.
No. And I never would have thought of that myself, but as soon as Mark made that pick, I was like, that's a perfect
right
pick.
Right on point.
Right?
Yeah,
and I also think when you go back to the 50s, when rock and roll was so young, they were still trying to figure out a lot of this stuff, like what these songs should sound like, right? So there wasn't just a standard, like, play four on the floor.
Was recorded in 1957.
So
pretty much at the birth of rock and roll.
Yeah. I mean, these early acts were trying out all different kinds of sounds. You know, you can find some, you know, just some really kind of experimental kind of stuff,
and
right?
The whole Buddy Holly thing was so amazing. They went to New Mexico and recorded. UFOs might have been landing near them. We don't know.
Probably. All right. Let's get to the next one. I have not listened to these. I don't know these songs.
Okay.
So this is from Tom Neuerberg.
Mm-hmm.
Says love. That's all capitals. Love the drums on this one. And he says Motion City soundtrack. Everything is all right. This band?
I know a little bit about them. I think I saw them once on the Warped Tour. We should call Adam Woodard and see if he's in a Motion City soundtrack. It's a great song, though, man. Great classic emo tune, I think, in many ways, right? But the drums really do define that.
Yeah.
Great drum sound, too.
It comes right through. And it songs like that, I'm not sure you want to do that all the time as a drummer, but there you have that moment where you say, like, hey, I'm going to be more sort of part of the melody in a way than that's just normally, right?
Yeah, yeah. Great, great choice. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, next one is from Simon Fathers.
We know Simon.
Yes. He says, my favorite drummer of the 90s, Laz or Lowe's Colbert. Do you know this person?
I don't.
So then he says, he sends a link, and it's to a song by Ride.
Ride. Oh, okay. That explains it.
Which is, the song is called Not Fazed. Good snare work,
yeah,
right?
The way it is.
Fits in those spaces.
Right, totally fits in. Drives the song along. Gotta admit, I'm not a big fan of Ride, but I also don't know a whole lot about them. I think I probably dismissed them, you know, maybe a little unfairly as part of the shoegaze movement.
You know, the thing about that pick is, I think with any kind of like shoegaze band, it's hard to kind of break out of that mix, right? So everything kind of gets mixed all together and it's hard to distinguish all the parts, but you can hear that snare coming through
totally.
In those spaces.
And the sound, like you said, was great, right? The sound was really right in there, right? Very distinctive.
All right. We have one more recommendation about drum songs. We'll do that for the play out. Let's finish this up by just saying that you should listen to Rock in the Suburbs
every day.
Every day. And and what's fun about these Fan Mail Fridays, they go extra long, so you can even listen on the weekends.
That's right. You can take Saturday, you can take Sunday.
Right.
And if you forget it on Friday when you listen to it because you had too many red IPAs, you can go back and listen to it on Saturday or Sunday.
Sometimes you feel like, you know, it's too much. The level of wisdom is too much to take, and you need a little break, so you can just stop and say, oh, I got to sleep.
There's no shame in taking a pause, my friend.
Come back the next day, listen to more. You know, it might be a 3-day experience you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take some time, lay down in the bathtub.
That's right.
Sleep.
That's right. If you're on this bad trip, you gotta sleep it off.
If you have a beer, you might want to drink it.
The orange sunshine. Yeah. Okay. All right. So listen to Rock and Suburbs every day, as Patrick says.
Every day.
And you can find it on iTunes or Audio Boom or Stitcher or TuneIn. And you can also find it at suburbspod.com.
Yes, sir.
And you can email us rock@suburbspod.com. Mm-hmm. That's how you can send us the emails that get on the Fan Mail Friday.
Yeah.
That's right. You can also tweet at us @suburbspod, or you can post comments on our Facebook page, which is also suburbspod. And that we also look at those.
Right.
So we do that once in a while.
Suburbspod is the theme.
That's
right. Put that into the
Google. Do that. Get on the show. Maybe we'll give you a call like we did with Jimmy. Maybe we'll play a voicemail like we did with the other folks. Maybe we'll read. All those things.
Do it all.
Okay, so the last one that we got this week is from Kevin Clement.
Thank you, Kevin.
And he says some great live drumming is on the Neville Brothers Congo Square live on Planet Earth. Best funk drumming I have heard. Are you familiar with this?
I'm familiar with the Neville Brothers. I know the song. Can't wait to hear it.
All right. So let's hear that. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you guys next week. Enjoy this.
Gonna take it to New Orleans, to the place that American music was born, y'all. A place called Congo Square.
Bob Seger song. Bob Seger song.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. This is a Bob Seger cover. This is a Bob. This song is written by Bob Seger. Yeah. You know, it's Bob Seger song. Bob Seger song. This is a Bob Seger cover. This is a Bob. This song is written by Bob Seger.